Like tonight to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15, also the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and chapter 12. Luke chapter 15, we'd like to read verses 11 through verse 13. It's a portion of the parable of the prodigal son. He said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto him his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there in that far country he wasted his substance with riotous living. Then in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, to read verses 24 through verse 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, has seen him who is invisible." And then in Hebrews chapter 12, I'd like to read verses 16 and 17. "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." These verses speak of three men who made very definite choice, a very definite decision to do something. In Luke chapter 15, we read of the prodigal son. He made a decision to take a journey, to leave his father's house. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read of Moses. He made a decision to forsake Egypt and to suffer affliction with the people of God. And in Hebrews chapter 12, we read of an unsaved man by the name of Esau, who made a decision, of course, to sell his birthright, sell his inheritance to Jacob. All three of these men made life-altering decisions. These were decisions that would change their lives. These were decisions that had great consequences, had very definite consequences. The Bible is filled with individuals who were faced with life-altering decisions. Some of them made the wrong decisions. Some of them made the right decisions. But they were faced with life-altering decisions. Lot certainly is an example of a man who made a life-altering decision. Elimelech, there in the book of Ruth, made the decision to move his family down to Moab. Later on, Orpah and Ruth made life-altering decisions. Orpah decided to go to stay, to remain in Moab. And Ruth made the decision to follow Naomi to the town of Bethlehem, to the house of bread, to the place for God's people. But each one of these individuals was faced with life-altering choices, life-altering decisions. We're not talking about decisions like, what will I have for lunch today? What will I watch on television? We're talking about decisions that can change one's life, can change one's family, can change everything that's around us. There are several things that we learn from these three individuals, the prodigal son and Moses and Esau, concerning the decisions, concerning the choices that we make. One of the first things that we learn is that a proper spirit is necessary to make a proper decision. I believe the devil is an expert at developing bad spirits, at developing a wrong spirit. Shortly before we are faced with a life-altering decision, I would hate to be faced with a life-altering decision and have a bad spirit, because you're going to make the wrong decision. Well, so we learn from these three individuals that a proper spirit is necessary, a proper attitude is necessary if we are going to make a right decision. The truth is, you cannot separate the spirit, the attitude, from our thinking. They're all connected. Our attitude, our spirit, really determines what we think upon, determines how we think. And this is why David prayed there in Psalm 51 and 10, renew a right spirit within me. It is so important that we always have a right spirit, because we do not know when we're going to be faced with a life-altering decision. And we cannot afford to have a wrong spirit. We cannot afford to have a spirit that's not right with God. So we see that our spirit, our attitude, in many ways determines what we think, how we think, but also what we think upon determines our spirit and our attitude as well. It's a vicious circle. Again, if you have someone who has a wrong spirit, a bad spirit, they begin to think wrong. And the more they think wrong, the more that feeds what? A wrong spirit and a bad attitude. And pretty soon they're stuck. And sooner or later, they're going to be faced with a decision. A decision or a choice that could alter their lives. And this is why, again, Paul told us in Philippians 4 and verse 8, he told us there how we're to think. We're to think upon things that are true. We're to think upon things that are pure and that are lovely and things that are of good report. We're to think right. Because if we don't think right, we're going to develop a wrong spirit, and we may have to make a decision that's going to alter our life. And again, you cannot afford to have a wrong spirit. How many have ruined their lives because they made a decision in a time when they had a wrong spirit or a bad attitude, and they ruined their lives? The Bible, again, has many examples of such. The prodigal son, his decision to take a journey into a far country, it was not something that was a whim. It wasn't something that he just decided overnight. But I believe through the process of time, the prodigal son developed a bad spirit. Began to have a bad spirit toward his father. Began to have a bad spirit toward his father's house. And even toward the inheritance. He eventually made the decision, I want my inheritance, I want it now. And I'm leaving. Again, that wasn't something he just came to overnight. But I guarantee you, he made that decision when his spirit was not right, when his attitude was not right. You think about Esau. There in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16, we read that Esau was a profane person. That tells us something about his character. That tells us something about his spirit. It tells us something about the attitude of Esau. To profane is to violate, to corrupt, to take that which is sacred and prostitute it out. And that's the kind of spirit that Esau had. It's a very dangerous spirit, especially if you have a decision, a choice to make in your life. A profane person is one that makes light of spiritual things. He's an individual who maybe even will go so far as to condemn spiritual things or sacred things. But we are specifically told that Esau was a profane man. That is, he thought lightly upon things that really mattered. He thought lightly upon spiritual things. We read in Genesis 25 and verse 34 that Esau despised his birthright. That is, he thought lightly of his birthright. Again, that didn't happen overnight. He developed this spirit in the process of time. And a profane individual simply loses sight of that which is valuable. And Esau lost sight. Esau lost sight of the value of his birthright. And when you lose sight of what is valuable, how can you possibly choose between things? Once you've lost sight, once you've forgotten what is truly valuable. So God's people must be able to see the usefulness and the importance of the spiritual over the physical. We can never, ever lose sight of that. And if we lose sight of that, then we will choose the physical over the spiritual, and that will alter our life, and not to the good. That will not be beneficial to us. If we, like Esau, trade away the spiritual for that which is of little worth, and that's what Esau did. He traded away the birthright for a morsel of meat, for that which would satisfy him then and there. He traded it all away. Because he wasn't thinking right. There have been many who have traded away the blessings of God because they just weren't thinking right. You're not thinking right if you trade away the blessings of God for the material. And then we have the case of Moses there in Hebrews 11, verse 25 and verse 26. We read there in those verses that Moses had an esteem for spiritual things. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. That is, he had an admiration for the things of the Lord. Moses had an appreciation for the things of the Lord. He held the things of the Lord in honor. He held the things of God in high regard. And he esteemed them to be greater than all the riches of the treasures in Egypt. That is, he thought more, he preferred the spiritual over the material. He was thinking right, unlike Esau, unlike the prodigal son. And because he was thinking right, because he esteemed the spiritual, we read, choosing rather. That is, he had a greater admiration. He had a greater appreciation. He had a greater honor and a greater regard for the things of the Lord than all the treasures of Egypt. And really, he saw these two things, the things of God and the treasures of Egypt. He saw these two things in conflict with one another. These were two things that could not be reconciled. They were in conflict. And he knew he had to make a choice. It was either the riches of Christ or the pleasures of sin for a season. And Moses, because of his esteem, because Moses had a right spirit at this time, Moses made the right choice. And God blessed his life. And his whole life was altered. We see here also in every decision there was a refusal of something and a choosing of something. That's always the case. With the prodigal son, he chose what he thought would be a better life for him. No one purposely chooses what they think is going to ruin their lives. You do not purposely choose that which you know will be detrimental to you. But people's thinking is twisted, and they think this is going to be better for me. The physical will be better than the spiritual. The material will be better than the spiritual. And they really believe that because their spirit is wrong. It causes them to make a wrong decision. So he thought that he would benefit living away from his father. Making that choice, making the choice to head to the far country, he refused his father. He refused his father's way of life. He refused his father's house. He refused the life that he had in the father's house. He chose the far country and refused what he had. And oh, how often people refuse what they have for something they don't have and think they need. And they alter their entire life. And they all do it for the same reason. This will benefit me. This will benefit my family. But it never does. And it never will. When you choose the material and physical over your soul, it will always be a wrong decision. Always. We look at the case of Esau. Esau was hungry. Esau was thirsty. Esau was weary from a day in the field. He came home, and at that moment, Esau saw more value. He saw more usefulness. He saw more importance in that morsel of meat than he did the birthright. Now that's some twisted thinking. He had more regard for that morsel of meat than he did the birthright. He had more respect for that morsel of meat than he did the blessings of God. So what did he do? He traded it away. Made a bad deal. And that wasn't the worst deal in human history, because men and women have been making worse deals than that all along. Trading away the blessings of God for that which will give me satisfaction right now. And that's what that morsel of meat did. It gave Jacob Esau satisfaction right then. And how often people trade away the blessings of God because they want what will satisfy them right now. Those are decisions that will ruin your life. In the case of Moses, because he had a proper esteem of the riches of God, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But instead he chose to suffer affliction. He knew if he made this choice that it would involve difficulty. But he deliberately chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. And he had enough sense to realize that the pleasures of sin were just for a season. He wasn't going to choose that which would just gratify him at the moment. He was looking at the big picture. People talk about looking at the big picture. If you look at the big picture, you'll always choose the spiritual over the material. I mean, look at the big picture. Eternity. The soul over the body. And Moses saw the big picture. We also learn from all of this that in each one of these cases, there were consequences. Each one of these men made a choice. And each one brought consequences into their life. In the case of the prodigal son, he left his father's house. He thought he was going to be happier. Thought for sure he'd have more freedom. Thought for sure he'd have more liberty. And he went into the far country. And we see the result was waste. Poverty, hopelessness, bondage, dissatisfaction, and no relief to be found. He had none of those things in his father's house. He had to leave his father's house to get those things. And that's true with you and I today. As long as we stay close to God, we'll never have waste. You've got to leave God to waste your life. You'll never have spiritual poverty close to God. You've got to leave Him to have that. You'll never have hopelessness close to God. But you leave Him. And you will have hopelessness. You'll not have a life of bondage and dissatisfaction close to God. No, you've got to leave God to find those things. And that's what the prodigal son did. Those were the consequences. We also see in the case of Esau, there in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 17, if we turn there, there's a very, very important word that we must pay earnest attention to. He says, "For you know how that afterward, we need to be reminded there is an afterward. The decisions, the choices that we make, there is an afterward. You choose the material, you choose the physical over the spiritual. You choose the physical over your soul. I remind you, there is an afterward. And that afterward is not going to be pleasant. It is not going to be of benefit to you. There was an afterward in the case of Esau. We see also with the case of Moses. He made the right choice. The consequences were he was greatly used of God. He was a man blessed of God. And I don't believe Moses ever once thought, "Boy, I wish I would have stayed in Egypt. I wish I would have remained in Pharaoh's house." Not once. But when the prodigal son found himself in the far country, he wished every single day he came to a point where he thought, "Oh, I wish I'd have never left my father's house." And Esau thought the same thing. He said, "I wish I'd have never sold my birthright." And though he tried to repent
And though he tried to make it right, we read there in Hebrews chapter 12 that he found no repentance. That serves as a warning. People who have the attitude, I'll just do whatever I please and then repent. Esau found no repentance, even though he wanted to repent. There was none to be found. These were all bad decisions, or two of them, prodigal son and Esau. Terrible decisions. Decisions that altered their lives. We all have decisions. Again, I'm not talking about little decisions that are of little or no consequence. I'm talking about things that come down to choosing between spiritual and that which isn't. We're all faced with choices. And if we're going to make right decisions, I suppose the first thing we need to do is make sure that our spirit stays right. You have a decision to make that is going to alter your life. You had better make good and sure that you're right with God. I don't care how much time it takes to get right with God, you're better off getting right before you make that decision. Whatever decision it might be. You'd better make sure that you're in the will of the Lord. Because people talk about the will of the Lord who cannot possibly know the will of God because of their spirit, because of their attitude, because of their spiritual condition. We need to ask ourselves at all times, is this right? Is it right? What I'm about to decide, is it right? How do we determine if it's right? Thus saith the Lord. You don't have to take an opinion poll asking individuals if it's right. You know what happens then? You get some folks to tell you, no, it's wrong, and then some folks that say, oh, no, that's right. You know who you'll listen to? What you've already made up your mind to do. All you're doing is looking for justification. Someone to agree. But we need to ask ourselves, is it right? Is it right according to Scripture? We need to ask ourselves, will this bring me near sin? Will this bring me near some temptation? Am I in any way giving place to the devil by doing what I'm doing? Am I giving place? Am I giving the devil an inch? Because you may think you're giving him an inch, but he's going to take a lot more every single time. He'll always take more than you give him, all the time. We need to ask ourselves, are we really trusting in the Lord? Or are we depending on our own reasoning? Our own reasoning can get us in a lot of trouble. We need to really ask ourselves and be honest, am I really trusting God? Am I really just putting my faith in the Lord? What about others? How's it going to affect them? I don't believe it ever crossed the prodigal son's mind. How's this going to affect my father? How's this going to affect my younger brother? It didn't cross his mind. The only thing he wanted was his inheritance and so he could go. And any time we begin to think and we don't consider anybody else, we have a wrong spirit. We need to ask ourselves, is it going to cause someone else to stumble? Is it going to cause someone else to sin? Am I going to alter their life in a negative way? Does it appear evil? Again, we're to abstain from the appearance of evil. what would the Lord do? That's always a good question, if you're honest enough to answer it. It doesn't do any good to ask the question if you're not going to answer it. Well, what would the Lord do? What would the Lord have me to do? Will it please God? There is a God to please. That ought to concern us. That God can be pleased ought to concern us. Because if God can be pleased, then I ought to want to please Him. And if God can be pleased, then He can also be displeased. In every decision, either pleases God or doesn't. If it's against what God says, it can't possibly be pleasing to Him. No matter what reasons you may come up with, it doesn't matter. If it's contrary to what God has said, if it's contrary to examples of Scripture, if it's contrary to principles laid down in the Word of God, it cannot possibly be pleasing to the Lord. Am I denying the flesh? Am I denying the lust of the flesh, or am I feeding the lust of the flesh? Am I putting Christ first? Is righteousness first? Is the spiritual first? Or by making this decision, am I putting Christ second? Or third, or wherever. If He's not first, your order's wrong. You're making a wrong decision. If the soul isn't first, you're making a wrong decision. I don't even care if it turns out right. You still made a wrong decision. Because it would have been better if you hadn't made that decision. And sometimes, simply because God is merciful, it does turn out right. It doesn't mean the decision was right. But I believe as always would have been better had we made the right decision. Will it glorify the Lord? That's what should concern us. Does it glorify God? For members of the church, we need to ask ourselves, how's this going to affect the church? Will it defile the body of Christ? Will it weaken the body of Christ? Or will it strengthen the body of Christ? If everybody else in the church does what I'm about to do, what would happen to the church? I'm about to leave the church. Well, what if everybody else did that? We need to ask ourselves these things. We're all faced from time to time with decisions that not only alter our lives, but have a direct effect, a direct bearing upon those we love. Maybe our children, our grandchildren. And we had better make sure that we make right choices. In the days in which we live, when so much is in turmoil, people have a tendency to make wrong choices. They have a tendency to get their priorities all turned around. So it is imperative that we keep a right spirit. That we keep a right attitude, because we are going to be faced with decisions that will have a great impact upon our life. And we don't want to be in a condition where we can't possibly make the right decision. And I've seen many people in that condition. It's not possible for them to make the right decision because their thinking is so perverted and so twisted that it is almost guaranteed that they're going to make the wrong decision. And don't ever think. We like to use different words to make things sound good. I have this opportunity. Well, that sounds pretty good, an opportunity. But many times it's an opportunity to ruin your life. We need to really seriously consider. We need to be in much prayer when we have to make personal decisions regard that they're going to have an effect upon our spirituality, that are going to have an effect upon our families' spirituality. We've all been faced with difficult decisions. The most difficult decisions that I've ever had is going to another church. It's an agonizing time. There's all kinds of advice. Make a list. Advantages, disadvantages. That's foolish. It's utter foolishness. What's God's will? What it comes down to. Doesn't come down to, well, I'll make more money here, less here. This is a warmer climate. This is a colder climate. None of that matters. None of it matters. What matters is, where does God want me? That's all that matters. And the only way you can come to know that is praying and asking God to help you. So when it comes time to make those decisions, and I'm not saying, I realize God could lead somebody as a member of this church to another church. I'm fully aware of that. But you'd better be sure that it's God and not you. Because that'll be a decision that you'll regret. And if God is leading someone to go somewhere else, you'd be making a wrong decision to stay. If he's leading you to go somewhere else, it would be bad to stay. If I would have stayed in Chicago, it would have been a terrible decision. If I'd have stayed at Zor, same thing. Because God was moving on. Nothing else matters. So God help us to make right decisions, that we would keep ourselves in a right spirit and right attitude at all times, because it's very dangerous to develop the wrong spirit. It's hazardous to our health. It's hazardous to our spiritual health. So God help us. Brother Larry, if you